Okay, this is Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 6:35 Eastern Time. Okay, now we're going to go through a roll call. Nathan Wakefield, present. Mike Sullivan.
Here.
Noel Yee.
Present.
Aaron Stevens. Louise Siradek.
Present.
Jared Davis.
Present.
Martin Frost. Warren Hammond.
Present.
Kyle Johnson. Veronique Prouvechet. Lucho Fernandez.
Present.
Excellent. Okay, Noel, do you see Warren's message?
Folks? Yeah, totally.
All right, I'll give you just a second to correct that. Thanks for pointing that out, Warren. Okay, now we move on to the agenda. We have a motion to approve the agenda.
This is Louis. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Louis. Do we have a second?
This is Jared. I second.
Thank you, Jared. All right. Well, Warren said he would second, but he was a little slow on that, so... I'll defer to his little text bubble for any comments. So yes, feel free to continue to comment there, Warren. Okay, do we have any discussion regarding this? Okay, that being the case, we move to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval? Any abstentions? Agenda is approved.
Zach.
Good. Okay, moving on to approval of last month's minutes. Can I get a motion for this approval?
Yeah, I can motion.
Okay, I believe that was Lucho. Do we have a second?
This is Louis. I will second that.
Thank you very much, Louis. Do we have any discussion regarding October's minutes? We move to vote. Does anybody oppose these minutes? Any abstentions? Minutes are approved. All right. Moving along to reports. Once again, Veronique, unfortunately, will not be joining us tonight. She had a previous obligation, but she did submit several reports. Did everyone get a chance to look at those? The first one is a festival report. The other one is just an update on the volunteer positions running the various departments at the festival.
Yep.
Okay. Do we have any discussion?
The one thing that kind of stood out was the registration.
Correct.
Like
this
trying
is
trying to figure out what the everything else looked pretty good, but that's just the one thing that's kind of been a little back and forth, I think, with all of us and them.
Yes, exactly, Louis. And I think that's something we really need to spend a great deal of time kind of talking about and trying to create some sort of plan. Veronique's, she sums it up pretty well in here, but I also did receive a message from her online. She's not receptive to Turbo handling the registration at all. So she basically said unless the only way that would work is if we created a new agreement through them and offered them some sort of compensation from the registration directly, which I don't think is something we want to consider. So essentially, we're going to have to come up with a plan to get this registration process underway within the next few months and fully implemented. So that being said, does anybody have any ideas or anything they would like to explore regarding this?
Well, let me say that one of the things that we're getting with our new AMS system is an event management system. And I expect that that will be up and online and ready for business by March of next year, which should be in plenty of time to accept registrations for next year's festival. Now, I don't know a lot about all the intricate details of how it all works and what all it can do and can't do, but as a general statement right now, I would think that our new system should be able to handle event registration as long as we don't overcomplicate it. With that said, what I don't want to make anyone think is that I'm agreeing to be the registrar for next year. Because we have a new system coming in, it will be a distributed system, and we will be able to share the workload among many people. And so although I would be happy to get things set up and launch registrations with our new system, if that's what we decide to do, I would not want to be the sole registrar, and I think we will need to delegate that out to several people for a couple of reasons, one of which is I'll be on the road for about 2 months next year out of the country.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Mike, what sort of qualities do you think we need for registrars, so to speak, if we're having several? Like, what would their requirements and obligations be?
Well, they just have to have internet access and a reliable computer and possibly a telephone to call people back and a little bit of training. And it would be nice if they have been to our festivals and know what they're like and can answer general questions that come in. But as I say, as long as we try and keep registration simple and not overcomplicate it, which the IJA has a tendency to do, I would think we would be able to run a basic registration system for next year starting in about March.
This is talking, Mike, this is talking for this 2015 March you're talking about. It could be potentially.
Yes.
I guess as a discussion point with a level of confidence, I plan on going to Turbo 2015, and if Warren were to help me out, because there's no way in hell I'm going to stand at that desk the entire event. Sorry, Mike, I can't do that. I'd be willing to take on the level of the registrar scenario to learn the new system from Mike to help implement it in Quebec, but I don't want to take the job without having an ample support team around me, and that would be... And that makes sense in some ways if I were to decide to do it, because I have been there. I'm closest to the festival at this point, minus Aaron. And I am an IJA representative, and I have the IJA's best interest in mind. But I don't know, because otherwise it would be somebody from outside of our system. And then it wouldn't benefit us for El Paso, because El Paso, I'm assuming Mike will go to, maybe El Paso. And if he does, then I will know something about it, Mike will know something about it, and more people will know the system. So it's not just like funneled where everything can be Mike's responsibility. So I'd be willing to take on the registrar position, but I need some serious help, because my main deal is I want to have some time to juggle and to see some shows. I just don't want to be completely overrun with that job. And that's just the only fear that I would have.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that, and you're right in saying that we'll get the system up and running this year. We'll be able to use it for Quebec City, and then by the time El Paso comes around, we'll all have a lot more experience with it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I think, you know, again, not knowing a lot about what the capabilities are, but knowing that thousands of other organizations use it to run conferences and events, I think it will have all the capabilities we should reasonably expect for a festival registration system. And therefore, I think anyone that's, you know, moderately adept and can run a computer should be able to be the back-end administrator. I'll be gone from about late April till late May, and then I'll be back. So if we opened registration and launched in March, I would be around for the first 6 or 7 weeks that registration is open, and then would rely on whoever else is going to be helping while I'm gone on vacation for a month and a half.
This sounds like a pretty solid plan. How many people would you say we would need on this
registration? Myself and two backups, and I think that would not burden anyone. And then we can rely on someone always being handy to help with something if it comes up. And most of the time it would be me, except when I'm gone.
Okay.
This is Aaron. I have go ahead, finish your thought. I'm going a slightly different direction.
I was just going to see, Noel, are you officially putting your hat in for volunteering for one of these positions?
It would be... The only reason I would officially do it and, like, diminish the experience at Turbo or at Quebec City for myself would be to further the IJA sustainability in this system that we're adopting right now. So, yes, but it's sort of conditional. I want to make sure I feel supported. I'm not just going to bail on it by any means, but I will be significantly disappointed if I'm there and there's not, something that makes sense to me being there. And I'm sure it'll go wrong at some point, but I definitely want to have a level of security. Because right now, it just seems like a very large, nebulous job with a new computer system that gives me a little bit of fear. But yes, I'm throwing my name in there.
Okay.
Noel, this is Louie. I'm just a little confused on the timing of that. You're saying you would do that at TurboFest when it comes up this year.
Well, that would necessitate working with Mike at least for a meeting a week for a couple weeks once everything is up and some emails to help get it online. But, yeah, it would be pre-planning is fine. But it's my main issue is I'd be willing to help ahead of time and post. But my main issue is my actual time at Turbo. I want that to be maximized.
Yeah, what are the
issues of Turbo? Nobody's talking about anything having to do with TurboFest.
Well, I only mentioned this because we were on the TurboFest report, and one of the major things in the report was the registration, that she didn't want to handle it, and I'm guessing that means registration on-site and pre-event.
No. We're not talking about the TurboFest registration. We're talking about registration for IJA TurboFest 2015 in July of 2015.
Yes. No, that's what I meant. That's what I'm meaning. I'm actually going to be there, too, at TurboFest in addition, but I'm telling you that I'm... throwing my load in there for IJA 2015 Quebec, I guess would be the way.
Okay. So just for a matter of terminology, Turbo is putting on the IJA Festival, but this is in reference to the IJA Festival next year in July.
Yes. But there's a lot of steps involved. Like if Mike and I got started now, I will be with Vehel basically in about a month and a half, right? I'll be face-to-face with her. So, like, there is a possibility that – there can be some deeper work done. That's why I feel like it could be the easiest if I were to go there and have something in place and Mike has in place, go there, work with Vehel when I go to Turbo. And then when IJA comes around, there'll be a deeper understanding of what's going on. I don't know. It just seemed like a good idea.
When is the Turbo Fest you're going to? When does that happen?
June 6th-ish.
June 6th.
January. January 6th.
Okay, great. So you're saying you might be able to be there at that thing and you can get some registration going and kind of get a feel for what it's like to register people, maybe even with the currency issues and kind of get a feel for that. But during that TurboFest in January, you don't want to be have that be your only thing sitting at the table running our registration.
At the IJA in 2015.
Okay, all right.
I'm willing to run a table at Turbo. I'm sure they already have a plan for that, and that would be a great time to actually be able to sell tickets to IJA as well. So I don't know how that's able to be up that quick, but Mike said Mark.
Yeah.
That seems a little early to me. I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. This is Warren. Two quick questions. Number one, Mike, to maybe help facilitate this process, can we run some mock registrations before even March?
Before we go live, we always run test registrations through.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
that will probably be a couple of weeks before we go live. It won't be in January.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Just thinking, how to smooth line the process for ourselves. And
yeah,
next
but we always
is,
do that. We ran about 30 or 40 registrations before through the system before we opened it up for jugglers in for Purdue.
Beautiful. And then along those same lines, do we have would it be prudent to have a backup system in place, or is that, or am I thinking a little overly cautious?
Well, we barely have enough resources to put one system in place. Whatever system we use, we're going to have to rely upon it. And the good news is that the system we're moving to is a very highly developed, mature system with full support and used by thousands of companies. So I don't think that's something we should be too concerned about.
Well, okay. My question, I guess, would be is when does Vetter want to open registration for IGA 2015? Does anybody have a read on that?
I actually talked to her about that, and she pretty much said that that was up to our discretion.
Yeah. Well, you know, she'll be super busy all the way through January with Turbo and before Turbo and after Turbo. And so once she gets done with Turbo in February, then we will finally be able probably to get enough of her time to lock down prices, details, what things we need to capture on registration, and so on. And so that can take us through February and March. And then, you know, we would be ready to begin thinking about opening up registrations towards the end of March or early April. I've always thought it's crazy for IJA to open up registrations in February for a festival that's not until almost August. And, you know, we have these very long windows of registration. It doesn't do us any good except make a lot of work for a lot more people. And if we didn't even open registration until April, it's not the end of the world. I mean, it's not like we have to mail something to everybody to tell them to register. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. But I think if we have registration open by the end of March even, we'll be in plenty good shape to get everybody registered that wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I guess to move on a little bit, I'll say that I will contact Veho about just clicking slowly into gear for her registrar a little bit. I'll talk to her about that. And then I'll move on, and I'll report back from there. And she knows, and then we can move on from that point.
Well, I'm sure she'll accept the offer because, obviously, she doesn't want to do it. So,
yeah, she doesn't want to do it, but it would be great to have on their end a point person, even if it isn't her, like to have, hey, who do we go to with this that kind of has it in their head on their end or even something like that from their team or something.
We're going to need some French translation, too. I mean, it is all French up there. That knows what's up, so just put that in there. I'll mention that to her. I'll mention it to her right now. So we can
I mean, things like that can complicate it very easily. If we have to produce the entire system in English and in French, that's a huge issue that we've never, ever had to contemplate before. So, you know, if we're going to run this on the IJA system, we're an English website running in English.
Okay.
We've had French Canadians register for our festival for many, many years, and they've always done it in English.
Okay. I'm assuming, I was more thinking of way advanced, like at the table.
Yeah. We do have in one of our contracts that all festival materials have to be bilingual, so that might make it so we have to adhere to that for registration as well.
Hey, everyone. So Kyle Johnson just showed up. I'm going to add you here in the room.
Okay. Hello. Yo, what about you?
I just bought a new phone, so it'll work, and I can hear things on it.
Well, hey, we appreciate the effort of you coming, Kyle. Glad to have you.
Happy to be here.
All right, we're just talking about the IJA Festival Report, primarily touching upon the registration issue. It looks like we got a lot of good solutions going on. So I guess one point I wanted to touch upon very briefly is if we're not going to open up registration until possibly April, what the tiered system we want to have? Do we want to have, say, early registration, normal, and late, or just registration and late registration? What are people's thoughts on that?
We give away too much money to early registration. We've done this analysis year after year. Over 60% of the people who came to our festival got the early price. They were going to come whether, no matter what the price was.
Mm-hmm.
So we give a lot of money away for no good reason.
Didn't we do a four-tier system at one point, a super early bird? Didn't we do a four-tier
system?
Yeah,
we gave even more money away.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the people that that super register early for super early bird. They're the people who come every year. They're going to pay whatever it costs to register. And
okay, well, what was the price?
2 years ago, we gave away over $5,000 in early registration revenue to people who are going to come no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say we have early registration that is a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then we have registration. And registration closes on June 30th, and then you register and pay on site. So we have three tiers: early, regular, and on site. That's in line with most other conferences and festivals that I've ever seen.
How long has the early registration been in the past? How long has that been open?
Well, it's been open variously for 2 weeks or 2 months. Depends on what year you want to look at. I can look at last year and tell you what it was. But
you're just thinking about shortening the time period for early registration. I think we might get a lot of slack for getting rid of it, but I think doing it a shorter period of time seems perfectly reasonable. Start registration later. Early bird is 1 to 2 weeks. That seems like a good move.
I understand that we are handling the registration for Turbo, but it also, the way in which Vahola seems, the way that her position is to make money for the festival is going to play a large part in how this registration looks. So I would suggest we ask Vero what her opinion is first and then go from there, because that, yeah, because maybe she's already thinking no early, or maybe she's thinking, I don't know. So, like, her payment is based upon the success of the festival. So I'm assuming she'd want to have a heavy hand in how this works out. So it seems like a lot of discussion can happen elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, I would just urge the board to keep in mind that we don't have to give away $5,000, which in the case of 2013 was half of our profit, to let people who are going to come to the festival anyway early, register early at a hugely discounted price. We should also consider tightening the bands around the prices so that there's not such a huge discount. I mean, for someone who can plan 6 months in advance, why should they get a $60 discount on their registration? $20 would be a good enough reason for them to register if they know they're going to come. Remember, we offer refunds up until the day the festival starts.
Well, Mike, I've been wanting to comment for a while, so I figure this is a good point. I just want to say that I just want to reiterate how that I am really thankful for all that you do for the IJA and continue to do, and all the feedback and your wisdom, your knowledge that you give, and all the clearly, you've won many awards, and you've helped out a lot, and I just want to thank you for that.
I won one award, but thank you.
Well, okay. Well, excuse me. I won an award, and not enough yet. And I just want to thank you for that, for all that you've done. And I really like all the comments and all the feedback and all the everybody's back and forth on all this stuff. I just want to say that from my point of view, of a poor juggler, which I think most jugglers are, reducing or taking away an opportunity to save money on the festival when it's already pretty pricey, in my opinion, is like a whole nother can of worms that I don't know.
Well, we don't want to get into it. Nobody's talking about what price to charge for anything yet, but just remember, in 2013, we made $10 per juggler. That was our profit for 18 months of work.
But
$10 per juggler. So that, we did not have a lot of extra money to spare in pricing.
Well, that's factoring in all of the IGA memberships that were bought in order to attend the festival, right?
Yes, but by our, accounting requirements, we can't count those. And that's another discussion about whether the IGA should be a membership organization or not. I mean, if we're making pure profit on memberships, then, that's another discussion. The point is, we're not soaking people for this festival. We are barely making a profit. And my point was that we gave away half of the profit that we could have possibly earned in 2013 with an early registration window that was so huge that nearly everyone who came to the festival got the early price. That's my only point.
So this is Warren. This is probably a very basic and very naive question, but I feel the need to ask it now. What kind of a profit are we looking to make at this festival, and why do we need to make a profit? And aside from being able to pay for everything, what's that money going towards now? I mean, I guess I'm saying why isn't $5,000 profit on the festival okay? I mean, but to me, my primary concern is to put on a fantastic festival, people have a lot of fun, and that people can come to. Whether or not we make money off it, I mean, even if we do 18 months of work, like you said, none of us is personally seeing the money for that. I mean, I guess Vero maybe, but still, that's weighing one person's gain over the entire organization. So I'm...
Well, we don't have to make a profit as long as the IJA does nothing else than run a festival every year. But if we want to do all the other things that IJA wants to do, those things take money.
Okay, fair.
We have bills to pay. We have insurance we have to pay. We have to have enough money in the bank to actually throw a festival. We have to pay deposits. We have to pay our staff. We have a paid bookkeeper. We have... web hosting. We have a lot of bills to pay, and again,
has
a whole other discussion
and
about whether the IJA needs to do anything other than run a festival.
Sure. And my follow up then is how have we paid for it in the past? I mean, has it always been the festival?
Yeah,
festival. All of these other.
The festival is essentially the only profit making thing that we have. And when we lose money on the festival, it decimates the organization for the rest of the year. For example, in 2009, we made $39,000 on the festival. In 2010, we lost money. In 2011, we made money. In 2012, we lost money. In 2013, we made $5,000.
Yeah.
We don't know how we're doing this year. I haven't seen the report yet. But...
I think this is Noel. I'm not trying to cut you off, Mike, but I feel like we have more things to talk about today.
And I
definitely think that this discussion that Warren's bringing up brings up a deeper conversation topic for our future meeting, which is being able to see the finances that go down in IJA and really having an accurate capacity to do something about them and allocate them differently potentially, but all of that I feel like is lumped into seeing our books at the end of this year. So maybe some more intense time could be spent in that this year. That would just be a suggestion.
There's a lot of good thoughts going on here, a lot of good energy. We can always take this offline on the forums or bounce around some ideas in email or perhaps a future board discussion even. But I think for now I'd like to just put together a rough summary of the next steps regarding the registration process. I guess maybe Mike and Noel, could you maybe put together whatever progress is made at the next board meeting regarding the AMS registration system and give us an update on that?
Can you give me a dummy login to just derp around with at all, Mike?
It's not available yet. We're just standing the system up in the next month or so.
Okay. So I guess the next thing for registration is Mike gets the system up.
Okay.
Gets gets the test something up, test site up. The well talks to Vero and gets exact planning and details for registration in her mind, at least. And then Mike and the well meet at some point prior to Christmas, hopefully, or at least an hour on the phone or somewhere.
Yep.
That would be beautiful. Are you guys both in, that's agreeable to you?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Mike?
Fine.
Delightful. Okay, we kind of...
Who's going to tell Veronique of this plan?
I just sent her a message on Facebook just now, just telling her that I wanted to talk with her.
Okay.
So, and if there's any pertinent details to get wires crossed, I'm telling her that I'm volunteering tentatively, pretty much, to do the registration for IGA 2015. And right now... Mike is in the process of putting together the website, and we really want to know how she envisioned ticketing looking like for her event, particularly the tiers. Just get a little dipsticking there, and then I'll take her information, bring it back to Mike, have a discussion, and then report back to Vero, and then I'll be actually at Turbo probably by the time that occurs, and then after that will be the end of January, and we will be pretty much in go mode.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. I've been speaking with Vero about a variety of issues, but if you want to be her main point of contact for the registration portion of that, I have no issue with that. And it sounds like
just remember, okay. My main issue is I want to do all this work now so I can maximize my juggling time at 2015.
Yeah, I can't argue that, Noel. Cannot argue that. Okay, do we have any other things we'd like to discuss with the report other than the registration issue? I think there's a lot of good stuff going on. I don't know if you guys saw, but we have several special guests, including Greg Kennedy's Theorem is officially booked, and I think that's going to be a great selling point for this festival. Okay, if there is no more discussion, we will move on to future festival planning. Are there any updates with that, Mike?
Nothing to report since last month. I've got a few more. A good lead from Springfield, Massachusetts, which just developed in the last week. I'm chasing them down, and I hope that pans out because I don't have a lot of good leads for 2017 right now, and I'm getting a little nervous.
This is Noel. Springfield, Massachusetts, you said?
Sorry. Yes.
I know you're going to hate that, whatever, so... I was just at Circus Fest Vancouver and the Vancouver, Canada, and the Vancouverians have a crazy big circus community. There was literally 13 shows of pretty much more than half were local acts, and they work together with Circus West, which is one of the large circus facilities in Vancouver, one of like three, and it's held at the P&E, which is basically a gigantic fairground type place. And I was kind of like dropping the note with Allie, the girl who runs Circus Fest Vancouver, about being the fest director for 2017. I kind of was like prodding her about it. And I just think that Vancouver, Canada could be an excellent option. It's much less foreign, just have to put it out there,
yeah.
than Quebec. And also, there's also this weird circus uprising in BC right now, which is basically in direct competition with Quebec. And I think that they would be potentially very excited to host the IJA in Vancouver. And I know that has a lot of other complications, not just like a go, but I really want to strongly suggest Vancouver, BC as an option for 2017.
Great. Well, I'm happy to talk to anybody that's interested in us. I'm easy to get a hold of. Please have whoever just give me a call or email me. I have a complete set of specifications they can look at, and I am happy to talk to anybody anywhere who's interested in IJA. So if they think they can host us, I'd love to talk to them.
Okay. The P&E is huge. It's connected to a circus, a DM circus. It's really awesome.
If we can afford it, and if they have the facilities we want, I'm interested in talking to them. So please have them get a hold of me. I'm here all the time.
Okay.
Great. Sounds good, guys. Okay, moving on to YJA. I did not receive a report from Ellen. Last I heard, things are moving along pretty well with that. Is there any discussion or comments on YJA? Okay, moving on to marketing. Anything interesting or noteworthy going on with marketing right now, Kyle?
Not at the moment, no. I've just been keeping up the Facebook page. Yeah, that's about it at the moment.
Okay, well, things are looking pretty good on that end from my vantage point. Moving on to eJuggle report. This is actually a new report. I spoke with Scott about this, and I kind of wanted to get a brief summary of what's going on with eJuggle month the board a little more informed, as well as help us to promote upcoming content, as well as address any issues that might be coming on with our official online publication. So that's the reasoning behind this, and he sent me a very detailed summary. Did everyone get a chance to look that over? Is there any discussion? Your point I kind of wanted to make. We have a couple videos coming up. It looks like we have secured the online viewing rights to Nathan Biggs Penton's video Miller with some bonus scenes that he's filming right now. And apparently we also have an older video by Wes Peden Plaid pending getting posted on the e-zine soon. So it's good to know that those are coming out, and I think it would be good if Kyle and Aaron, if you could kind of promote that and be in contact with Scott so we get more kind of a build for that. I think that would be beneficial to kind of hype those. Those are pretty big acquisitions.
Totally. That's great. Do you have any more information on, like, is that going to go out soon?
Well, last time I was talking with Scott, the plan was we're trying to release a members-only video every month. And I asked about the Nathan's video, and he said that, you know, we have the rights to the video, but he's still working on getting the bonus parts done. So whenever those are done, the video will be released. But you'd have to ask that for a specific release date, or even if there is one at this point. But hopefully soon. We're also pending the 2013 festival video. That's been going a little bit slower, but I believe all the videos are done. I just want to get approval. I just want to personally approve the DVD content. Then I will start coordinating that for an online release to run in conjunction with the AccuTrack on-demand disc. So hopefully that'll get done soon as well. I think the only thing I was a little puzzled by in looking at this report is the monthly hits are just completely all over the place, and that's kind of inexplicable to me.
Right, like that we could go from 56,000 one month to 5,600 another month. That's incredible.
Yeah, so I almost feel like I want to talk to Scott and or anyone else to try to get a better handle on these metrics and see, like, when it's spiking in certain months, what's going right, what's not going right, see if we can promote or if there's certain content that draws people in or if it's Facebook links or where these hits are coming from and why it's just a crazy roller coaster like that. So that's something.
Go ahead. The Facebook page does have, like, 18,060 likes on it. So when you Facebook limits, you know, like how many people see each thing or like how important it is for their feed. But that's a lot of hits. Like when something's big and then people start to share it, like those people actually see it. So thousands and thousands of people are seeing the posts and then possibly sharing them. So it's, I'm not saying it's not possible, but man, that's insane though. 50,000 views in a month. Okay, in a month, I guess.
Yeah, I will also say that at the beginning of January, February, and March, including myself, that was kind of a part of this. That was when there was four videos a month coming out from the flow section, from the education. And I strongly say that from the flow side, particularly, we're pulling people that don't normally check out IJA stuff.
I would agree with that.
So, like, I would hazard a guess that the consistency of the tricks of the month really show in those first 3 months when they were consistent on all fronts, and then they fell apart completely And basically, I don't know what happened in August, minus the festival.
Now, I did have one question about that. Maybe you could answer this, Kyle. Is when we're linking the Tricks of the Month videos, are we linking the article and eJuggle, or are we linking to YouTube directly to the video itself? Because that would determine.
When I post on Facebook, I put the video, like, embedded in the post from YouTube, and then a link to eJuggle along with that.
Oh, okay.
The reason is, if there's not a video link, no one's going to click on it. You know,
right.
Like, oh, go to the other page to see it. It's just way more unlikely without a video on there.
No, I agree. I wondered if that was affecting the way the metrics were reading, if it was going directly to the YouTube.
And I'm almost positive that August was when was Throwjoy officially announced to be on there?
I don't remember.
I feel like that could have been August or July, and that could have also contributed to a lot of people going to the site.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I might actually talk to Scott to see if we could get a better read on that, and maybe Kyle, you could get on that as well, and we can kind of come up with some sort of like online marketing plan, especially as we do this rebranding, to try to kind of get some more consistency with those numbers and see when it's going right, how we can continue on that path. So I think that's a really interesting thing that could be worth exploring. Is there any more comments on this report? Any discussion?
I just want to know, future of eJuggle, is that going to be eventually rolled into our new website sort of world or something? Is it still going to kind of be a standalone piece, or is it eventually will that be rolled in?
That's been discussed. To my knowledge, there has been no kind of consensus on what to do at that point, but I think a lot of people agree that there should be at least more cross communication between the two mediums. So if you want to take a minute to discuss that, we could do that.
I mean, I guess it is it's not first on the list in any, by any means.
Right.
But it would be neat if it just as we grew the new thing, we got this new robust system that Mike's working on and going to learn more about, if we can start to bring more things under it so we don't have like four different places people have to go to get IJA content.
Right, and that kind of ties in too with like our newsletters. You know, we also have that.
Exactly.
It's definitely a lot of different directions we could go, but I do agree there needs to be some sort of either consolidation or larger inter system.
Yeah, I started to try to make a list the other day. I was kind of just going through to get my head around it, like all the different little tendrils almost we have from like our juggling video sites and the eJuggle and the newsletters from email and the different pages we have in the forums. It's like, yeah, some we're just spread out in a certain way that, like, I'm wondering if we can integrate some of that stuff, if that will also drive the membership up and stuff too. Like, if somehow we have a lot of great content, but it's just like poked around in different places. And I think if we can create a nice hub where all that content lives, it might help spur those people who want to be a member, but they don't know the benefits yet. If we're like, well, look at this. This is what being a member gets you, like this good, robust hunk of information and juggling material.
This is Warren. Along with that, this is something I've been talking about for years, trying to with different people, but I would love to see a portal to rec.juggling on the IJA's website somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if we had if like what you were just talking about, you know, a central location to go for everything, if we could also have that there, then I think we'd get a tremendous amount of traffic. So
mm-hmm.
Want to make sure I got that noted.
Cool. Yeah, add that to the notes. That's a very good point. Is there any more discussion with this issue? Okay, then we will be moving on to IRCs. Erin Stevens sent me a message, said she wanted to stop by tonight, but she could not. But she was able to write us this report and send it. Fairly detailed. Does anybody have any discussions on this report? Looks like there's a lot of good stuff coming up with the IRCs. UNAMED is helping out on some of the activities, and looks like it's going to continue to grow. Okay, moving on to membership. Any discussion on membership? All right. Moving on to AMS. What do we have to update, Mike?
We began work on the 3rd when our contract started. I've had two telephone conference calls with our account rep. Briefed him on what our goals are. We talked about a realistic timeline. He talked about the general process they use with new clients coming on. And then he sent me their what are called discovery documents, which is a basically a set of outlines and information that I fill in to provide them with an overview of how IJA works, what our membership structure is, what all the moving parts of our operation are. And I'm going to complete that probably tomorrow, and I hope to get back on the phone with our rep this week to discuss all of that, and then we will begin working on standing up the first parts of the website probably still this month. And so by the time we meet next month, I should have some progress to report on the first elements of the new system coming online.
Excellent. Any questions for Mike regarding the AMS system integration? Sounds like everything's on track. Okay. Any further discussion in general? Okay. Sounds like there's a lot of good things coming up, Mike. Keep up the good work. Moving on to motions for consideration. First motion on the agenda is, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, motion to approve Afton Benson as the IJA treasurer for the remainder of the 2014 through 2015 term. And attached is a letter of interest. Will someone make this motion?
This is Louie. I'll make that motion. Sorry.
I think Louie's got that. Are you still taking notes, Noel? All right. Do we have a second?
This is Warren. I'll second.
Thank you, Warren. Moving on to discussion, just a quick summary to kind of recap where we were with the treasurer position. After our call of letters, call of interests for positions, we didn't have anyone apply for a treasurer, which is unfortunate. This is a very pivotal position. So we put out a few specialty calls for treasurer. The first one was online on the Facebook page, and we received one letter of interest from a gentleman. I believe he was from Hungary, but given his geographic location, it was decided that financially it would not work, as a lot of our institutions are based in America, and the communication between us was not the greatest. So we put out a call of interest in the newsletter online, and we received a letter of interest from Afton. She seems very qualified for the position, very excited, and she listed Tom Wall as a reference. I spoke with Tom, and he could not recommend her any more highly. He said he thought she would be phenomenal for the job. And so that's kind of where we are with this applicant. Does anyone else have any more discussion regarding this? Cool. Okay, with that being the case, we move to a vote. Does anyone oppose this motion? Do we have any abstentions? Motion passes. All right, guys. Well, that's a lot less stress for us. We officially have a new treasurer. Good stuff.
Will you inform Dennis of this?
Yes, yes. I mentioned this to him in a previous email, and I plan to start... I plan to have a conversation with Afton and then begin doing some onboarding with her directly and then connecting her with Dennis so that they can kind of coordinate and delegate duties as well as kind of he can catch her up to speed on some of the financial end. Okay, moving on to motion B. Motion to approve Louis Cyrodiic as IJA graphic designer for the remainder of the 2014 through 2015 term. Also attached is a letter of interest. Would someone make this motion?
This is Warren. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Warren. Do we have
Noel
a second?
Noel will second it.
Whoa. Very enthusiastic. Thank you, Noel.
I was on mute for a second, and I was
just... likely excuse for your enthusiasm. Okay. Is there any discussion on this? I've seen this gentleman's work, and I think he does a great job.
Cool.
And again, this is for things like the programs and the brochures and things we need for different festivals, things like that. If things come up, if people need like graphics for our Facebook page or anything that comes up, they feel free to hit me up in email and stuff like that and be like, hey, I need a graphic that's kind of like this, or how about this picture with these words on it, anything like that, I'm happy to.
Okay, and hopefully the new advent of the new website, hopefully some iconage, little like juggly graphic design bits for a new site.
Awesome. Yep. Cool. Great. Yeah, and then I'll get with Mike at some point. Mike, I can talk to you about some of the graphics and icons and things you might need or want or are thinking about for that for the webpage, and maybe you and I can talk in an email about some of that stuff over the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Do we have any abstentions? Motion passes. Congratulations and thank you, Louie.
Great, thanks.
One thing I would like to take just a quick moment to point out is between Aaron Stevens stepping up for the World Juggling Day coordinator, Afton Benson stepping up as IJA treasurer, and Louie Cyrodiic stepping in as IJA graphic designer, we now have officially filled all of our previously vacant positions left over from the offer officers. So good job, everybody. We're on a good track.
Well done.
Okay. Moving on to motion C. Motion to approve and enact the revised IJA music policy effective upon approval, starting with the 2015 festival stage competitions. Will someone make this motion?
This is Kyle. I make the motion.
Thank you, Kyle. Second?
Oh, man. This is Louie. I will second.
Oh. Louie makes a second. Delightful.
Seems like a game.
Who can get in first?
Yeah, 3 stars.
Great. Okay, moving to discussion. Questions, comments?
Just to make sure I understand it all correctly, we're not using the ASCAP and BMI license anymore. So now even performances have to use the royalty free music.
Okay. To clarify on that, we will still be using the ASCAP license.
Okay.
That will be used for one playing music in the gym at the Renegade, and also all non-performers such as the Cascade of Stars and Welcome Show and any other specialty shows will have that in case for their performances they do any music like this. So this is exclusive to the competitors' routines.
Okay, so competitors' routines have to be the royalty-free.
Correct.
From now on. Okay. And the rationale, again, is to just make it easier for us to put the to make the videos to distribute.
Primarily, yes, and also to preserve the historical authenticity of them, because we cannot screen anything publicly or distribute them pretty much ever if there is copyrighted music on them. So pretty much any historical preservation is lost in terms of the audio,
right,
unless they've done that previously without any copyrighted music. So that's kind of the school of thought with that.
All right, and again, just to clarify acts coming in for like the cascade of stars and stuff, that they don't have to follow this?
No, they do not. They're not a competitive act, and we will have our ASCAP license in the event that they perform to a long-standing routine for, you know, a copyrighted song or whatever.
Okay.
So that will be kind of like a live-only experience.
Great. I see. Okay, great, great. So, I mean, we record it, but that can only be shown in secret dark rooms where nobody from ASCAP. So that's just behind-the-scenes magic stuff we're only allowed to see with cigars and wine with a few of us.
Yeah, I think part of it too is you know, the competitors, a lot of times they put together a routine for the competition, whereas a lot of the performers, they're doing routines that they're kind of known for, so,
yeah.
And we often don't really present those in their entirety on the videos anyways, so it's
right.
More of a montage, so that's not really compromised as a historical piece.
Great.
Any more discussion? I want to make sure this is very well understood and, you know, further before we move to the vote.
Oh, my God.
Okay. That being the case, we will move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Do we have any abstentions? Motion passes. All right, guys, I just want to say this is a long time in the works. I will make an announcement about this, and we will set this in motion, but I think it'll do a lot of good things in the long term.
Great.
Moving on to Motion D, motion to approve and enact a revised IJA scoring system effective upon approval, starting with the IJA 2015 Festival Stage Competitions. Okay. Will someone make this motion?
This is Kyle. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Kyle. Do we have a second?
Lucho, a second.
Thank you, Lucho. Surprised no one jumped on that. Okay. All right. Still with us, Noel?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, you'll see.
Okay, all right. Just want to make sure that gets recorded. Moving to discussion. Now, this is definitely, I see a lot of colorful discussion here, guys, so let's let it rip.
All right, this is Warren. So I'm a little concerned with the rephrased wording. Let's see here. Under... on the first page where it says, replace this paragraph, yada, 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 with this. With this is where I'm having some problems. So in particular, the sentence that says, here, or the part of the sentence that says, would best be described as juggling as opposed to a well-known other specific name, such as yo-yoing, baton twirling, hula hooping, or flare bartending. Are we talking about these specific things? Or are we talking about kind of auxiliary props in general? And if the latter is the case, then shouldn't we have something that says et cetera at the end of that? And in addition, I'm not entirely sure that I like this period.
Yeah.
So that's my gut on this, because I think if a judge is looking at that sentence from the is this juggling category, you could rule out potentially anything that is not toss juggling, and I'm
correct.
Comfortable with that.
Okay.
I agree with Warren. With Kyle. I agree.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I agree with what he was saying about, like, kind of shutting out. I mean, it even says, like, hula hooping on there and stuff like that. Like, we're not allowing that anymore. We're not allowing shaker cups. We're not allowing third. Or it's like they get marked down for not using the right prop in the right
and,
way.
Yeah, and it's not even – it doesn't even give, like, consistency from year to year, because this could be competitors could be disqualified at the director's discretion, and the director could have different discretion from year to year, and it could be different directors from year to year. So this is very, very, very dangerously vague, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And this is Noel here. My whole deal with it was that I also have my misgivings as I support all those other arts.
Yeah.
And so, for example, like Ashley Hayward,
yeah,
is a great example of a baton twirler that does juggle but also does baton. I don't know. I feel that it's the way that this is phrased prevents creativity and what juggling could mean. That's all. And I know that means different things to different people. So I'd also just be curious, who wrote this again? Is it
Vivica?
Is it Vivica and Jack?
Yes. Vivica, and there was also a little bit of input from Neil Fred.
So this is oh crap, I had another point. Where did it go? My drug-addled brain. What was I going to say? Right, okay, now I remember. So this, to me, also strikes me as a knee-jerk reaction to last year's competitions.
Yeah.
And I'm just reminded of the year that Jason Garfield went up on stage and did a completely – he just gave a lecture instead of doing his act, and I feel like there was a rule that was enacted that was a knee-jerk reaction to that, the rule that said that you cannot – you have to perform the exact same routine that you did in prelims when you did in finals. I have a problem with that rule as well, and I think it's – because in both cases, this is a knee-jerk reaction. So there's just more reasons why I don't like this, basically, is what I'm saying. So.
Okay. I find myself in agreement with a lot of the same reasoning you guys say. Now, let's move on to the second part of this proposed change, which is the scoring. This primarily, they're deleting the two proposed element of risk and the stage presence, and replace it with the is this juggling category. Now, to me, that's kind of reinforces the previous thing, trying to make this very much toss-centric, but I also think it doesn't really make sense logically, because is this juggling is kind of like a yes-no thing, but when you allot points to rate if something is juggling or not, it becomes kind of confusing, I think. What do everyone else think?
This is Warren. I agree with that. I do like the revamped scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I think it reflects much better the intentions of the competitions and reflects kind of the I think this will better reflect the audience and how they perceive the competitions. I think I'm a little sad to see stage presence go, but as long as that's perhaps a subcategory of presentation,
yeah.
I don't even remember actually seeing a description of what presentation is in this.
You got to go back to the old rules to kind of see that. I went back and read some of those. They listed out kind of what those pieces were.
But not for presentation, though. I mean, presentation is a new category. Oh, no. Is presentation a new category or not?
Let me go back. Let me see.
I don't remember seeing presentation before. I think that's a new category, and without a definition, I'm scared to approve it as well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I would like to see, before I approve anything, I would like to see a detailed description of all the categories, just to... Yeah, make sure there's no overlap, nothing new.
Okay. And is this because if you click on the link in scoring, it'll bring up website with all descriptions of all the old categories, and then they kind of summarized the is this juggling category that they had included.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't even notice that link. Look at that.
So it sounds like we're – this is Jared. It sounds like we're pretty much all in agreement that we don't want to pass this, or that's what it sounds like to me. So should we move on? Or
well, I would like to give feedback to Vivica and Neil Fred, and maybe this is just something like I've worked with them a lot in the past on this too, so I'd be happy, I think, to maybe start a conversation there, but I'd also like to have everybody's thoughts before we move on from this, so that I can present them with something so they have some direction in which to, yeah, move. That's fine.
Okay. I will say this. I will say this before we move to a vote. I think that's a good idea. I actually sent Vivica a little bit of feedback myself, and she did listen to that. But I do say I did send out an email to this to the board as well as post it on the forum.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of with the intention of trying to solicit feedback to Vivica before I put this on the agenda, and I received very little feedback from the board, which is why I put it on the agenda, just to take care of it now as opposed to draw this out further. That being said, we could vote on this now, then present it with feedback, and then potentially vote on a revised one at a future meeting. But again, I don't want to be voting on this in the spring and then expecting competitors to have to compensate for that in the next few months. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Warren. Go ahead.
No, I think that's a very good point, Nathan. And I think they've done a lot of the hard work already on revamping this. I think it wouldn't be out of the question to see if they can have something for us December or January.
I think that's reasonable.
Well, there definitely needs to be, just like the discussion is, they put a sentence at the number 3, which is the big one, which is, while we enjoy competitors expanding our preconceptions of juggling, the IJ stage competitions are not an appropriate venue for acts that do not primarily appear to be juggling acts. And I feel like that's like a very intriguing, for lack of better words, passive-aggressive statement about what's not juggling. and I feel that, and I get it. Like, Vivica has been the championship director for at least coming up this year, maybe 3 years in a row.
I think this will be her 3rd year, yeah.
And I think that we don't want to alienate her, and sending Warren would be a good call. But as somebody that does other things than juggle, I think if this replaces a difficult, or is this hard, or risk factor, forget the name of that category, I think
element of risk.
And I can see that. Why is this juggling? Like, how hard is something? And I just want to put it out there. Like, it begs a larger question with what is juggling, and I feel like the IJ has been basically dealing with this now for a couple of years, so I don't know how quickly it could get answered. Like, because maybe it's a very quick fix where she's like, I don't want to see a poi spinner win the IJ stage cup, just spinning poi. And I'd be like, yeah, I actually also agree. I'd like him to see him do something really difficult, or seemingly difficult.
Yeah. It would have to be good.
So, like, I get that, but I just feel like maybe it could be worded in a way that's slightly less offensive to people that do other things.
One of the issues
I agree.
One of the issues we've experienced historically, and this is kind of cumbersome, is that, you know, we have, if they want to enact something that says, is this juggling, the problem then becomes we need to define specifically down to a T what constitutes juggling. And that kind of opens up this can of worms when it just becomes a kind of a simple conversation of perception. So it really cannot be done easily. And so therein lies the inherent flaw, I think.
I don't think we could agree on a definition of juggling very easily. So, that doesn't make not a good route.
Yeah, and we all have a different idea of what juggling is. If you ask somebody on the street what is juggling, you know, they're going to give the standard. It's some guy with 3 balls or some girl juggling club. Like, that is juggling. But
to me,
in it, know that there's more to it.
To me, too. I think I think almost the category, is this juggling, is a redundant question, because if you go through the preliminary process, the championships director and the prelim judges are going to weed out anything that is not juggling. In reference to this past year, people looked at Tom's act and they said, hey, this is juggling. And again, I'm trying not to, like, dodge the issue here. I think this is really about Tom getting silver this past year. So, and I'm okay with that. I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah.
The fact that it happened. And so I'm also with this worried that they're creating an issue out of a non-issue as well. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that being the case, is there any further discussion on this?
I think we just need the next steps so not to affect Neil Fred about this, but to have some solid next steps where Warren follows up with them, has a conversation, and we figure a way for them to get these rules in early enough for Quebec, for her to do her job there.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, just real quick. I fully agree, but as a formality, I think we should vote before we talk about next steps based on a fate that hasn't happened yet.
Quick question about this will be the first time where I vote anything except yes. What is the point of an abstention?
The point of an abstention you don't want your vote to count either way, so you're abstaining from voting.
Okay, so is there anything to say for politeness for us all abstaining if we wanted to? I don't know if that accomplishes anything, I guess. I'm just trying to see, is this a tool that we can use to say, we didn't vote it no, but we decided not to vote on it. Is there anything there?
I'm not an expert on that particular realm, but I think it would be kind of, I don't think it would look good for a board to just universally abstain from a vote, because that makes it seem like nobody wanted to get anything done. You know what I mean?
Yep. Fair enough. Okay.
And this is business as usual, and it's not necessarily saying that this is wrong. It's just saying this particular motion on the agenda was voted this way. So.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But that being said, we move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion?
Yeah, Kyle, I am.
Kyle opposes.
Warren opposes.
Warren opposes.
This is Louie. I oppose it in its current state.
Louie opposes.
Noel opposes.
Noel opposes.
Jared opposes.
Jared. Also Nathan. Oh my!
Right, it feels weird to oppose it like this, but it's just part of the process. I don't think you should feel bad or feel funky about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Part of this is the process of a committee and process of a board, and oppose that means there's some work to be done, and we should all get on doing some of that work, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly.
Lucho.
Oh, Lucho. Okay, Lucho. Also Nathan.
Are opposed?
Yes.
Okay.
Comically enough, not really possible to abstain since all board members universally oppose, but as a panelist, does anyone abstain from this motion? We have no abstention. Motion is not passed. Motion is okay, just a quick summary of next steps. Warren, you've been very involved with the stage competition, so you're going to reach out with the feedback, and if they want to possibly submit. Actually, you know what? Once you get feedback, send it to us for additional feedback. We can bounce things around. And if they want to resubmit, then we can do it at December. But if it's not meant to be, the other changes that were suggested, the formalities will be updated. Those don't require board approval. So things like changing the wording and submission, those will be enacted. Okay. Good discussion, guys. Good discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to E, motion to designate Jack Kelly, Alan Howard, Steve Ron, and Bob Newman as the 2015 IJA Awards Committee with Jack Kelly. I'm sorry, is that Jack or Jack?
Motion?
Serving as chair, all right. Make a motion. Do we have a second? I think that was Warren making the motion and Kyle seconding, is that correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
See that.
All right. Moving on to discussion.
Yay.
All of those people are great. I love them all. Yeah, we'll be fine.
Wow. The positive energy. Yeah, I will say that this is the same awards committee board that served last year. I mentioned that to Vivica, or I'm sorry, Barrow. She reached out to them, and they were all very excited to resume the roles. And I think it's good to have them in place earlier than later. And just as a formality in our bylaws, it does mention that if there's a committee formed, the board has to designate those, which is why the motion is on tonight's agenda. But I think this is a very positive thing, and it seems like there's a lot of other agreements surrounding this issue. Does anyone have any further discussion?
This is Louie. I just, to make it clear, are these the judges that will also be judging the competition? Or these?
No.
No, this is the people getting the competition together. Are these the people who are reviewing who's allowed into the competition?
No. This is completely separate from the competition. The competitions have prelim judges, and then the judges. The awards committee strictly deals with the people that submit them nominations to receive awards. Now, awards being things like historical achievement, excellence,
right,
and education, things that are not competitive based, but rather awards based on lifetime merit and achievement.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Cool. Any more comments? Okay, we'll move to a vote then. Does anybody oppose this motion? Do you have any abstentions? Motion passes. I will inform these people, and hopefully we will get a call for nominees on the next newsletter to them. Good stuff, guys. Great. Moving on to motion F. Motion to approve the following annual financial statements. Balance sheet as of 6/30/2014, second quarter. Profit and loss statement year to date as of 6/30/2014, also second quarter. Profit and loss, 4/14 through 6/14. Balance sheet as of 3/31/2014, first quarter, and first quarter profit and loss. Can someone make this motion?
This is Kyle. I'll make the motion.
Kyle, do we have a second?
Louis, I'll make the motion.
I heard Louis. Okay, moving on to discussion. This is a little, as you can see, it's a very, very numeric, a little kind of hard to calculate unless you're familiar with these, but I'll just give a quick back. Traditionally, we have to approve annual profit and loss statements, etc. Now, the reason why there's so many on this particular agenda is we had our bookkeeper change over from Holly to Dennis. And in that transition, we were unable to get balance sheets and profit and loss statements up to date. So I mentioned this to Dennis, and he was finally able to get that information out. And so basically we have them all coming in at once as opposed to quarterly. But going forward, they will be done on a quarterly basis and a more timely fashion. I will say, unfortunately, I do not have the festival profit and loss at this point. Although I did speak with Dennis, he has everything he needs. He's just filling in some of the gaps, and he said rather than submit it tonight with a few gray areas, he'd assume take his time with it and submit it at the next board meeting. So it's unfortunate we don't have that yet, but by the next meeting, we will have the final profit and loss statement for the festival. Does anyone have any discussion further about these statements?
The only thing that is sticking out in my head is this balance sheet as of June 30th, $884,000 with a temporary restricted net asset. Like, I'm not a financial guy. Just what is that? Like, how all of a sudden do those numbers pop into our world?
Which page is this on?
This is the first page of that balance sheet. I see the IWE fund going on there at $132,000. stopped. And then total check-ins and savings, $302,000. And then later on, we have this total assets of $884,390 on that page one. What is that? And then the next page, page two, $884,000, which is temporary restricted net assets.
Right.
I have no idea, we're normally, most of our things are dealing into like $32,000, $22,000, and then to see a number at, you know, almost $1 million, I'm like, what does that mean? Where is that? What is that? I don't know. And I don't know if you guys know or anything. It's just a big number all of a sudden to see in these financials.
Yep. This is Noel. I definitely have seen these before, and there's definitely money available, and it doesn't mean that we should spend it necessarily frivolously, but it definitely makes things like the executive director seem slightly more viable as a $20,000 two-year test to see the actual finances of the IJA. And a lot of these are locked into many things, including festival management and things like that, and sustaining the IJA, but yeah.
I believe the $800,000 is the expected future benefit of the $1 million donation from EWE.
Wow,
yeah,
incredible.
Have to keep in mind that even though that's a very generous donation, currently we can't. It's not really ours to do with what as we please. It's just kind of locked in right now, so it's not just money we can freely spend. But
no, I'm just wondering that is the EWE fund donation coming in. It's incredible. God bless that person. $1 million coming into an organization, it really changes the power of the organization a little bit if it's spent wisely and done correctly according to what they want done with it.
Right. Well, it's $50,000 a year over 20 years.
Right.
That was the pledge. And, you know, and I'm sure the donor intends to fulfill that pledge, but anything can happen. I'm also a little interested in the accounting rationale for carrying that as an asset when it hasn't been realized in any way yet, but I guess our bookkeeper or CPA would know how to do that.
Yeah, okay, cool. It's just something I guess to think about and look at. Not that I'm like, whoa, it's just weird to see that huge number. It's awesome somebody's donating. That's cool. Great.
Absolutely.
This is Warren. That actually brings up a good question from my point of view. So I look at this and I have no idea what the hell is going on with any of these numbers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if I wanted to get an idea of what we're working with from like a year-to-year basis, where would I look? Like what number should I be looking at?
To be perfect.
Since like you said, we don't have this $800,000, right? We're not going to have this for another years, I guess. You know, so what is the number that we can... that we can base some of our decisions on? And I think, like you said, especially thinking about, you know, the executive director, like, it would be good to know.
I would reach out to Dennis specifically because he can give you a better idea of, like, not just, you know, what our assets and liabilities are, but what money we can touch as opposed to locked in or is currently being accrued. And I know we have different funds. You know, we have, like, you know, the general fund, the archive fund, the membership fund. And so it gives us a better idea about what stuff not only can we touch, but should we touch. And I think that would be
yes.
The best one.
Okay, cool. So then maybe could we, you know, I have no idea what this man's workload is like or anything, but is this something where we could, and maybe this gets into what Afton's going to do, just looking for like a report that just hey, here's what God. Like, is that something Afton can come on board and start doing for us?
You know, it's interesting. Traditionally, we have financial reports prepared every month by the treasurer. So now that we have a treasurer, we will have a financial report every month.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, cool.
Great.
Then that basically answers my question, and I'll just wait for Afton to give us a report.
Yes, totally. My favorite part about these reports are that they are slightly crooked on the page. It just tweaks my OCD out wonderfully.
Oh, no.
It's great. It's great. I'm like, in an art way, I'm like, that's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful.
Yes. Definitely. Definitely adds to the experience. Okay. Yeah. Does everyone have any further discussion on this? That being the case, we're going to move to a vote. Does anybody oppose the motion to approve these financial statements? Do we have any abstentions? Motion passes. Statements are approved. Excellent. That'll bring us up to speed. And that laundry list of motions, we are through finally. Yay.
Yeah.
Moving on to Varia. I don't want to spend too much time with this. I think a lot of this can be done offline, and I don't want to get too redundant. I know we've talked about a lot of these issues in the past, but we're just going to touch upon some ongoing issues. First of all, let's discuss the logo and any updates or comments people want to have on that currently.
I think if when I contact you, Mike, when we talk about it, what I'll do is just kind of make a traditional logo we can use for the website as we're kind of, as you're building it and making it, and then we can work from there and kind of see how that looks. So maybe I'll, you know, just adjust some colors and work it out or something, but
yes,
we can talk about that later.
Now, I did, what was I saying? Yeah, I did like some of the designs Louis had in his last posts, specifically some of the circular ones with the three balls. I thought that looked really cool. So did anyone else see any designs that they kind of wanted to consider, like, running with? Okay. A couple other quick comments. I did send out an email. I had a conversation with the executive director of the American Youth Circus. They're actually going through a similar transition. They just launched a new website and a new logo, and I put some thoughts in there about the way they did it. They're very much about some pointer she had. It's very important that ultimately the board makes the decision on the logo, and it's not left up to a general consensus of the membership. The reason being that the juggling community speaks for the juggling community. The business side, they speak for what's best for the business and the image and branding of that. So that's kind of their mentality regarding that. They also said that it's very important not to have any emotional investment in the logo. It's good to do a logo that is based on what is a positive image for the organization, not necessarily what someone is very passionate about. And she suggested that it would probably be best to outsource to avoid anyone having any sort of attachment. And she said that the best way that they found is rather than approaching a graphic designer to come up with a variety of logos and then trying to pick apart which one would be best, find a really good graphic designer to design one logo and then submit that one so that there's no room for really opposition. But that was some of their, those are just some of their ideas. I'm not saying these are right or wrong. Those are just some perspectives, and that's kind of what I wanted, some perspectives from a similar organization. Does anyone have any thoughts on any of those?
Those are, I think those are great guidelines. I think it actually parallels a lot of what we were talking about with the executive director search as well. You know, outsourcing it. I also like the idea of presenting one that way.
Yeah.
We don't go into long, drawn-out discussions and conflicts about it.
Yeah, like when you first said that, I was like,
keeping anyone with an emotional, you know, ball in the court, you know, off of any decision-making process. I mean, we've already seen the backlash from that. So,
yeah. It's a very passionate issue that people feel strongly about.
And then didn't Jack Kelly mention something about, or maybe this has been something that's been tossed around before, but I mean, we could keep the old logo as a historical logo. I feel like I remember hearing something about that somewhere. That just seemed like a nice way to, you know, maybe keep some people at bay, essentially.
Yeah, it becomes kind of a complicated thing because you could have two logos, but, you know, would
well,
it really
think,
people,
yeah. You know, like
they,
the historic logo and then the current business logo. I mean, the historic logo still is somewhere, but not the public face of the IJA anymore. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, like the backlash has seemed just, you know, they don't want it to disappear. And I think that's a very good point. Let's not have it disappear. Let's put it somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
It's on the Historical Achievement Award, you know, something like that. I don't know. You know, but like really, though, like a way to keep it alive in some.
Yep, and even some T-shirts, some merchandise, some things with it still in there, like so it's not lost forever, and it almost becomes a nostalgia purchase.
Yes.
Some thing.
Yeah, and honestly, if we could find a way to celebrate it, like I think the idea of putting it on T-shirts is brilliant. You know, we could throw together like a retro IJA T-shirt with the old logo. You know, like that could be available at the next festival for when. You know, maybe we have the new logo. So, yeah, you know, just a way to keep acknowledging the past and our history and where we came from, but moving the business forward. Sorry, I got off on a tangent. To answer your questions, Nathan, yeah, I think those points were great.
And for me, finding a graphic artist, like, or finding somebody to do a logo, I don't quite know how to do that. Like, how do we with somewhere like Elance, or do we hunt down some logos we like and then try to figure out who created those logos, and we kind of have a little process of that, because again, we should maybe throw a few $100 or $600 towards somebody creating a logo or something, like it might be $1,000 or something, but if we find someone who's good, they might be able to solve our problem.
I like the idea of the second option. Just any time I guess that's just the way I function, is I look for things I like and then I find out who made them and then I get them to do things for me. And that makes the most targeted, direct way we could possibly do this. And I think we could even start by maybe Nathan having you talk to your contact with ICO. See who did this.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And then maybe we could get some, you know, a person or a list of names and evaluate some of their work and see if that's something we want to pursue.
Yeah.
Great.
Sounds good? Okay. Cool. Could you just make a quick note of that in the notes there, Noel?
Okay.
I want to make sure I don't forget it when I review the agenda. But yes, I will do that.
What do you want me to write, though?
Just write, Nathan will check with ICO about graphic design options. that'll work. Actually, just for recording purposes, could you put American Youth Circus?
Yeah,
good enough. Thank you, Noel. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this. Does anyone have any quick further thoughts on logo issues? Cool. A lot of good stuff going on, guys. Moving on to executive director. Just a little more discussion about this. I'd kind of like to...
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but can I go for a minute on this, Nathan?
Sure, absolutely, Warren. Go ahead.
Cool. So, I've made a rough outline of what I think we need to do in terms of finding an executive director. And I've collected a few what I think are important links, and I'd like to share this with everybody. But the big thing is, quick overview. We need to first off form a search committee, and this needs to be from what I've read in How to Hire an Executive Director. You want people from all sorts of places within the organization. We need board members, ideally, including the chair. We need members from within the organization, just to make sure that they're a part of this process. Former board members like Tom Long Lloyd, who have already done a lot of work on this, I'd like to get them as a part of it. And we also need officers from the organization to be a part of the search committee, and I think that might be the most important piece of the puzzle, because those are the people who are going to be working very, very directly on a day-to-day basis with an executive director. So that's number one priority now that I think we need to move forward on, so that we can just get the ball rolling on this. And from there, we need to write a detailed description of the position so that we can start advertising it, and then come up with a calendar and some deadlines to see when we want to actually have this person on board. So that's kind of where I've been with this for a little while now. Another option, which I really don't think we should pursue, is to hire a search firm. I don't think that's something that we can necessarily afford to do, and I don't think it's something we need to do. So any questions just based on that? Again, I'm trying to keep it real short, real simple. So.
The only thing I suggest, there was some work done by Lloyd.
Yes.
And some previous board meetings, just digging that up and finding the status of that. Lloyd did some good work there. It was like he drummed up the contract and the reason for it.
Yeah.
And maybe just working with him, because he seems to have a lot of experience at the very least with the writing side of this. So.
Yeah, exactly. I would really, really like to move forward with a committee that has either Lloyd or Tom on it or both, because I think they really got the ball rolling on this, and as passionately as I think I feel about this and other people do, they've put much more time into it and know much more about it. So, getting that information, I think that, and I've got that somewhere in an email. So I think what I would propose is to have a committee formed before the next board meeting, and that's what I'd like to propose, and see if anybody has any thoughts on that, would like to be a part of the committee, anything of that nature. So I'll leave that there.
Excellent, Warren. That was almost like a report.
Well, I've kind of had this like on the back burner for a while now.
That's great. Yeah.
Haven't gotten the chance to talk to anybody about it, but yeah. So.
Great. Yeah, I can tell you're putting in a lot of work, a lot of good thoughts. And I for one, the committee idea, that hadn't crossed my mind, but I think it's a very good idea and would very much.
I think it's a must. Yeah. Like the more I read about this, the more I was like, oh my God, we have to have a committee. Absolutely have to about this. And the other thing that I was thinking and reading about this too is like, this is, you know, we're hiring an executive director, but the point of this is to really transition from a working board to a non-working board. Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, any public face of this as well needs to acknowledge that this is a change within the organization, the way it's structured, so that we can function more effectively. I think we need to be very, very transparent about that. And about this process and how we're going about the hiring process as well.
I agree. And when I talked to the executive director at the American Youth Circus, that was one of the things she said is, you know, not only does this very much lend itself to the way a lot of nonprofits operate, but by having an executive director, it dramatically reduces board and officer burnout. And it also allows board members to kind of step away from the operational duties and focus on passion projects. So not only are they more, but there's more interesting things happening in the organization to move it forward in different, more interesting directions.
Yeah.
So I'm very much in favor of this. I will
say
that
go ahead.
Interesting enough, committees are actually written into our bylaws. That's why we voted on the motion regarding the awards committee.
Yeah.
But it's pretty easy. The way it works is we just need at least three members serve on the committee, and the board has to delegate them. So we would have to essentially find at least three people, and then we would vote on three plus people as a motion, and then once approved, then that would be the official committee for that function.
So would we want to then put forming a committee on next month's agenda so that we can vote on it?
We certainly could, or you could simply you know, try to get solicitations for the committee, and then just before the meeting, submit your list of names, and that could be put on the agenda as the proposed designatees.
Okay. Well, then why don't I do that? Why don't I try to get the names together, put together the committee? I'm looking for about 5 to 7 members, and I think ideally I want 5, but I think in the perfect world, this is I think in this world it's actually going to be 7. So if I get everybody on the committee that I want on the committee, let's put it that way. So I think the board members for the search committee should be at least myself and you, Nathan, and any other board members who express an interest. Like I said, former board members Tom Wall and Lloyd Timberlake, so that comes up to 4. And then I'd be looking for 3 other members. I think 1 to 2 people from the general membership of the organization, and then 1 to 2 officers from within the organization who are not a part of the board. So that being said, how would I now go about advertising that we're looking for this?
Well, the way our bylaws are written, it does not state that we need to publicly solicit. So you can pretty much cherry pick, just approach people until you have however many people that you want, and then we designate
okay.
them from there.
In that case, I'll just do that because I feel I like building committees that I like working with.
To me, that makes sense. I mean, if you want to, we could open this up to a general members, but I don't know if that would necessarily
nope.
lend itself. Okay.
Nope. I want to move quick on this tonight, and I know
right.
who I trust and who I like. So.
No, I think that's good.
Okay, cool. Do any other board members have any thoughts, questions, ideas, want to be a part of this committee? I'm certainly not going to say no to anybody being on this committee because it's going to be a lot of work.
I'd say that I'd be potentially willing, but I
mm-hmm.
guess there'd be more of a, like, because I worked with Lloyd for a while on this in the beginning. So,
oh, fantastic.
I'd be interested, but I need to know the time commitments. More specifically, that's my main thing. So.
Yeah, you know, and I can't give you a good gauge of that at this point. So that was Noel, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me write a couple notes for myself.
Like, if it's like a meeting a month or plus 10 hours, that's fine. But if it's like, you know, I don't know. For me, it's just good to have the hourly amount that I'm expected to work so that I can stay within that for myself. That's
for sure. And I mean, you know, hopefully with a lot of people working on this, the hourly commitment wouldn't be too high. You know, I mean, it's a lot of the work, there's going to be work that's going to be need to be done, you know, on our own, you know, via email, this, that, and the other. And then we're going to have to meet a few times, probably on the phone and certainly for any kind of interviews. But again, I don't think not everybody needs to even be present for the interview process. And in fact, I think it would be detrimental if that were the case. So, what did you say your hourly limits are? I don't want to max. I'm not going to try to max you out.
Oh no, mine is like 10 hours a month and 1 meeting a month for 3 months. I'll give to you.
Okay.
3 or 4 months. I'm just being straight up, you know, because I can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And this is way better to know up front than it is to. Okay, so 10 hours a month, 1 meeting per month for 3 to 4 months. Now, this is not going to be done in 3 to 4 months. I can almost guarantee you that. To really do this thing right, I think is going to take. Well, what are we at now? November? Well, hell, I'd like to have somebody hired before May, but that just may not be realistic.
I mean, it sounds like 7 times 10, that's 70 man hours on it for 4 months. Sounds kind of like a lot. I don't know.
It does, but I mean, we've also got to factor in how long it's going to take for us to find candidates
mm-hmm.
as well. I mean, that's something we've got to really look at. And then, yeah, I mean, I think all the back end stuff, certainly 70 man hours a month would be plenty, but it's just the other time frames we're looking
yeah,
at. I think 6 months is realistic, I feel like if we really
get into it now, Warren, I'm totally down to help you. Just let me know when you have a better idea, and I'm in. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Noah.
Great. Any further discussion on this issue? Sounds good. Thanks for taking the reins on this, Warren. I think we're heading in a very good direction.
No problem. My pleasure.
All right. Moving on to our final Buria item, that's board communication attendance. I just wanted to make a few quick comments here, then solicit some feedback. I think tonight was very good. We had, at one point, all of the board members were here, and I think we had a lot of very positive discussions. There's a lot of stuff moving forward. That being said, I'm a little concerned about some of the communications offline. I think there could be more discussions on the forums as well as responding to emails. And also informing the board if you're going to be absent at a meeting. And then I kind of wanted to pose the question if you guys feel that the planning meetings are worth continuing. There's only been a couple people present at the last few, and at the last one, I was actually the only person that called in. So I just wanted to see if that was something we still wanted to do or if we wanted to focus more on offline communications and then strictly having the monthly business meetings.
This is Warren. The planning meetings, I've honestly been upset that I just haven't been able to make it schedule-wise to any of those. I'd like to try to get to some before I think we call those off. It seems like from what you said with Aaron and previous boards, they were a very, very positive thing. So, I'd like to make the effort. I just don't know how realistic it is for me to be able to make those every month. Tough for me to give any solid feedback on
I'm
that.
I'm still going to push that. I think that a Facebook group for just board members could be useful.
Oh, man.
Still going to push that.
Kyle, I'm so for that.
I said this at least like 10 times, but every time I know that the board, previous board members can't see our dialogue, but it's just a lot more effective mode of communication for me, and I'm just going to say that again. That's it.
Okay, well, let me say this. Who on the board, does anybody on board currently not have Facebook?
All right.
Okay. Just a couple concerns of mine. It seems like most of the discussions on the forums are on the Board Plus forums when a lot of the officers chime in. It might be a little hard with some of the more long-running officers because I don't think a lot of them use Facebook. And then the issue becomes we need to make sure that it's secure in the sense that we can't have some of that internal dialogue leaking.
Well, I definitely think it could be like tiered communication. There is a venue to communicate with officers and other people within the IJA, but it would be good to build like a team camaraderie within the board here. Because I hate to be like weird about it, but the Board Plus Forum is a difficult place to access all the time. But if there was a way that like there was a forum that was just us, and then we could be notified a couple days in advance, or Lucho throws it, or Louis throws a thing up there, like a design, then we could actually all as a board see it right away. And even like tag each other, because it's definitely the media that I use the most, minus my email. So I don't know.
This is Warren. I really like this idea. And in addition, I actually get a little frustrated on the Board Plus forums. I would really like to have a place to discuss things just within the board. The Board Plus forum is great, don't get me wrong, but I feel like I would rather have more discussions just within the board and then go to the Board Plus after I feel more confident in what we're thinking. I almost a lot of times with the Board Plus forums get this feeling of this is the way it's done, this is the way it's always been done. I feel very dismissed
a lot of times on the Board Plus forum, and it's a little discouraging, to say the least.
Well, that there is a separate board forum. Have you seen that one?
There is a separate board forum, but from the impression I get is that it doesn't get – I don't know if the rest of the board checks it as much. I think Noel, this was you talking about a Facebook group, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think just the ease of communication via Facebook and the ease of sharing information would be really, really nice, you know, and then maybe – maybe security concerns are an issue. You know, maybe we go to, I don't know, Google or something else. But the forums are nice, but they're not efficient, I don't think. And they're not quick and they're not easy. I think having something that, like Noel was saying, is quick and easy and efficient would be a really, really nice thing. You know, I mean, it's just the difference between honestly having like Noah was saying, like something that Louis throws up, like a design or something. Sure, we see it in the email. Yeah, I mean, it's like, think of it this way. It's like I get an email that says, hey, there's this comment. Go to the forums, log into the forums. Cool. Here's some designs. Okay, cool. Now click on the link. Whereas if we had a board, Facebook group or something, we'd get a message, and within the message is the content as well, or, you know, the content of the message as well as the link to the photo, or just the photo itself, you know. And now Something that takes three steps is only one. So
it sounds like there's a lot.
My
okay. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of people in favor of this. I guess was it Noel? You kind of volunteered for this. Is that correct?
Yes, I will create the group right now with Kyle.
Yes, we'll do it, okay. And we can do it like you can make it like a secret group so people can't see. You know, see the activity or things can't leak out or whatever.
Yeah, I'm on a couple of Facebook groups like that where it's just the people who signed up. You have to be approved to be a member. You're let in and all that sort of stuff. It seems to work. The only thing I'm concerned about is for documentation purposes, to make sure we meet our bylaws sort of thing. Is there anything that would get fuzzy in there or anything?
You know, just to be safe, guys, I hate to derail this, but I would feel better if we actually approve this at the next board meeting as a formal motion. I mean, I'm still very much receptive to it, but just as a formality, I think this should be actually voted on because we're changing the way we communicate off of our board meetings.
Now, is this official communication or unofficial? Because, I mean, if it's casual communication, I don't see a problem with just talking, you know, I mean.
It's basically email. Anyway, like our emails aren't logged or anything. So if we're messaging on Facebook, it's we're just chatting. We're just talking about how we feel about certain things. So we're more prepared for meetings.
Because I do want that too. I want the kind of like, oh, hey, I'm poking around on Facebook. Some IJA stuff came up. Hey, guys, how's it going? Dot, dot, dot. And then like these quick little conversations can happen throughout the month so I don't feel lost or disconnected from the group mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to go by the book and play it safe, then I'm totally in support of that. I just think that this is, to me, this is a much more casual conversation and situation than even the forums necessarily, and certainly more casual than these business meetings. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I can see that. I'm just debating now if this is something we should kind of announce to the other officers first in case, you know, some of them have a longstanding idea about if this would – I mean, it's not written in our bylaws specifically, obviously. This is a fairly newer form of communication, but I'm just wondering if it interferes with anything.
I would rather not open it up to the Board Plus.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any reason we would need to, for asking of the other officers.
And I feel like in a separate way, like it would be very good for us to have a feeling of camaraderie. I know it's like digital secret Facebook group camaraderie. But at the same time, I think that, like, we can maybe, like, weekly you can report, report to the Board Plus forum, you know, like, if there's an important conversation, you could, like, copy it and paste it. We're not trying to hide anything from anybody. You know, like, if there's something important, you can mention it in the Board Plus forum to get further discussion, but the baseline, which you're going to be getting, Nathan, is more discussion from us, like we're having tonight, more frequently. And that seems better for the IJA just all across the board.
Yeah. And I think, I don't think this should be a secret that we have this group.
Right.
You know, I absolutely don't think we should keep it a secret from the board, from the officers. But I also don't think we need to ask any kind of permission at all. I think what we need to do is, you know, if we want to vote on it next meeting, then yes, let's vote on it. Let's make it official. But I think we need to let the officers know that this is our decision and it's not up for debate from them. You know, just tell them, like, basically say, like, hey, we're communicating here now as a board, just to let you know. So that's my thought.
I think that's reasonable. I think I'm going to say this should be voted upon only because it makes it more, even if we're not having official discussions, it is an official form, realistically, of the board. And if we didn't make it official by motion, then there's nothing to stop people from saying, like, oh, me and this other board member want our own forum, or we want to exclude these people, or there's nearly no, I mean, I know I'm not saying anyone would do that, but there's nothing
really
as a board.
So right now I'm looking at the create new group screen and added everybody's name except for Jared and Louie, who are not my Facebook friends. But something that could be possible here, just to kind of push it out there, would be maybe you could send out a straw poll so we can get this done sooner than later so you can start talking on this forum, because waiting another month for feedback and stuff will just make us lose another month. And I think that maybe right now it seems like everybody wants to communicate more with one another, and it seems like maybe you could send out a straw poll email, Nathan, like Aaron used to do, about having a Facebook group, and we could all basically, I don't know,
agree officially,
and then from there, then we can begin the process of communicating in the Facebook group.
I can't even tell you how times I've lost my passwords for the IG forum. Like, it's crazy. I have to get a new one every time, and then I get lost, like, right away.
I like the idea of a straw poll, too, just to get the kind of keep this momentum that it seems like we have going forward from this board meeting. And I also think, Nathan, I would suggest wording it that this is a forum for unofficial communication between the board members. You know, I think any kind of voting, any kind of decisions should not be made within this Facebook group, and I think that making that clear to all the officers will also smooth any opposition we may get. Just, you know, specifically saying this is for unofficial communication.
So that being said, well, would that negate us to do any straw polls through the Facebook group then?
Yes, no straw polls.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Please just keep in mind, in a few months, we will have a integrated, comprehensive, robust new system for staff, board, and member communications on our new system. Including sharing, discussion forum, email addresses, everything.
And I think that's fine, but I think let's get this going anyway. You know, when we have that, let's take a look at it, see if it meets our needs. But clearly, I think a lot of the board members feel that this is a very necessary thing to make us more effective as a board. So I say let's go with this for now, and then if it looks like we want to move over to the system, Mike, for our unofficial communications as well, then we'll do it then.
Cool.
Okay. Well, you know what? I suppose as this is a line of communication and isn't changing our business, I'm okay with proceeding if Noelle, you would like to do this.
Okay. Well, you all are added except for Louie and Jared, who went, oh, what's our icon? Oh, man.
Okay. Let us settle in for another hour.
But I just think that we should definitely make sure that we start, because we can do cool things, like put little polls and stuff. Kyle, you can choose. But And, yeah, so it's already created, and you guys are added. Lucho is already in there. I see him.
yeah, I like it.
Yeah, will you find me, Noel? Louis Skardek, Louie Skardek. I'm friends with Nathan.
I think you have to friend me, and then I can add you. I can't add you unless you're my friend.
Yeah, yeah, so, fine, okay, great. I'll hunt you down, perfect.
Fucking sunglasses, Kyle, no, man. It's a pizza pie, come on. It's a pie graph. All right, Charlie. All right. Yeah, sunglasses. All right, cool. Take that. Secret group.
All right, guys. Please put that in the notes at the very least, Noel, that the group was created.
Yep.
I just added Jared.
Okay, cool.
And I am also not friends with Louie. So.
Oh man, come on, dude.
I don't know, man. Like.
And I'll also do a thing where I'll make you guys all content creators, and I will make Nathan the admin, so you can do whatever you want in there. Not that it makes a difference, but just saying. And
okay.
Here's a link, so people can see the group, but they can't see inside of it if anyone wants to, like, I don't know. There you go. All right, next board thing. All right, let's move it. Yeah, it's great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for...
Real quick, do we want to continue with the planning meetings or just rely on the off-phone communication?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I'm still in favor of trying them. I would like to come to one just to see what they're about before I make a decision, but I will defer to the rest of the group if they have more experience and knowledge having been a part of those. So, yeah.
I will say it's not written in our bylaws. This was something Aaron Stevens started a little over a year ago to kind of facilitate more vision planning and brainstorming sessions between raw business, and it's was going since then. So I continued it when I became chairman, and the attendance has dropped off significantly. But I will continue to do them if there's interest. But I would ideally like there to be at least three or more people present to have discussions. So Warren says he is interested in continuing them for at least another month or two. Is anyone else interested?
Yeah, I would like to try.
Okay.
And maybe this Facebook thing will help push that along too a little bit, like keeping the conversation going a little bit. Maybe it'll keep that in our mind a little.
Yeah, and I would also suggest, along with the group, Nathan, if you could remind us repeatedly, for lack of better words,
that will help with that.
The group
though.
Will help that because there'll be a notification that pops up for all of us.
Oh, well, wait, something we go to all the time.
Wait a second, I got a friend request.
Yeah, balls in your court, Louie. I sent you a friend request.
Oh, this is so exciting.
nice, awesome.
All right.
Okay. That being the case, I guess we'll try those for at least another month or two. So I'm going to need you to reword the December meeting portion slightly. Okay. Moving on to set the December meeting. So at the beginning of that, put the next vision planning meeting. Okay, what is December looking like for everybody? How does the 9th work? Alternatively, you can try the
7th. Where the hell is my calendar?
Second or the 9th?
Both right now are open for me.
Preference?
Do I have a gig on the 1st? Oh, no, I've got more dental work on the 1st. Let's do the 9th for me. that's going to be my preference.
And then what's the date for the next meeting, the 16th or the 23rd?
Okay, so I guess we'll make the 9th of vision planning once you put that in. And to me, the 23rd would be more logical. I don't like the idea of having a discussion meeting than the next meeting having a board meeting. I like there to be at least 2 weeks. Does the 23rd work for everybody, or is that too close to the holidays?
23rd should work for me, and in fact works better than the other one. The other one I have
great
a penciled in gig. So.
Okay. 23rd for good for people?
Yep.
For me, it won't be possible 33rd.
You might not make it, Lucho?
I will be traveling, so 23.
Okay, well, that's okay. Just remind me before the board meeting. Is that a problem for anyone else?
What time is it on the 9th? Sorry, I'm still on the previous one.
Same time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. So the same time you met tonight. Okay, let's go with the 23rd. Excellent, guys. Moving on to adjournment. Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
This is Warren. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Warren. Moving on
Absolutely.
To this meeting was quite a bit longer than normal, but it was very productive. I'm optimistic that hopefully the next months will be a little shorter than this, but I appreciate everyone showing up, sticking around, and I think we made a lot of good progress, and I'm very excited for the stuff going on. Any further discussion?
No.
Nope. All right, good stuff, guys. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the motion to adjourn? Does anyone abstain? Motion passes. Meeting is adjourned at 8:42 p.m. Eastern Time.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks again.
On Facebook.
Yeah, thank you for you guys.
I'm trying to hang this up here.